in our Bibles, as we've been instructed by the Holy Spirit in every lesson, to begin by reading John 3:16. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. If you have another version, please read along with us. Amen? Is everyone there? Does everyone looking? Can everyone see that verse? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that good to know? That God so loved who? The world. Notice, he said God so loved the world. But what did God do as a result of loving the world? He gave, right? But what did he give? His only begotten Son. So that means God didn't have another son. His only begotten Son. And who's his only begotten Son? Jesus, right? But now listen, he gave his only begotten Son because he loved. But now we have a responsibility, or the world has a responsibility, right? Here it is. That what? Whosoever believes in him shall have what? Should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Now that's the heart of the gospel. Amen? Isn't that good news? Praise the Lord. I'd like to thank you for sharing with you. I have a message that I believe God has laid on my heart for you. But before we turn to that, turn to 1 Corinthians. This is not in the lesson, but this is the lesson in the lesson. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. And Paul is speaking. He's talking to the church in Corinth. Now listen to what he says. He says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all do what? Do what? Speak the same thing. Why? That there be what? No divisions among you, but that ye be what? Perfectly joined together in what? The same mind and the same judgment." Now the reason why, that has nothing to do with the lesson, but it's the springboard for where I'm going. You see, what Paul was saying to the church in Corinth, he was saying, and he was exhorting them, that we do what? Speak the same thing. So in other words, it's not important for us to hear a new thing. But if we're in tune with the Holy Ghost, who's the messenger, who gives the messages, then we're going to pretty much speak the same thing. So it's not a matter of I'm saying something, and you say, "Oh, I heard that before," or "Pastor Ed or Pastor Greg said that." No, that's not the point. The point is, if we're saying the same thing, then who's the messenger? The Holy Ghost. So I want to just preface that. I'm setting the table because I was blessed last Wednesday in our service. Pastor Ed was sharing, and the Lord gave me this message for you guys over about a month ago. But I'm hearing the lesson on Wednesday night. Amen? But that's okay, because we're speaking and saying the same thing. And who's the one giving the speech, and who's the one giving the message? The Holy Ghost. Now tonight, this morning's message, we're going to talk about walking in the light. Walking in the light, the life of God. Amen? But before we do that, I always like to have a confession. I say this confession every day, and I want you to join me in this one. Say this with me. Say, "I stay steady during these unstable times, regardless what comes my way. God's way is my way. Every day I renew my mind to the Word of God. I walk in love. I stay in faith. I am a doer of the Word of God and not just a hearer. In every and all situations, I respond in love and faith. When the issues of life come against me, I am not afraid. My heart is fixed. I trust in the Lord. My heart is established in God's holy word. I take the time to examine myself according to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 28 and 32. And I am quick to repent of anything that's out of order in my life. Now unto you, Heavenly Father, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to your power that's at work in my life, I know that the best days of my life are ahead with you, Heavenly Father. Everything that you have promised me, you are able to perform. I believe it and receive it in Jesus' name. Now, do you believe that? Do you receive it? Then it's yours. Amen. Okay, now we're in John, right? Turn back to John chapter 1. And we're going to start there this morning. And like I said, I'm going to take my time and I'm going in the direction that I believe the Holy Ghost has me going in. So I'm walking by faith. Amen. And I trust that you will be blessed by this message that the Lord has given us for this morning. Amen. So let's turn to John chapter 1. And I want everyone to read with me. John chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 9. Amen. Whatever version you have, I want you to read it as well. Because I want you to see this. Amen. Is everyone there? Okay, let's begin reading. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8, he was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, here what we're looking at, this is John's gospel. And the Holy Spirit had John begin this gospel with this, right? But notice what he talked about. He talked about light, right? Now, think about this in the natural. Just in the natural. Natural light that we receive, right? The natural light we receive comes from where? The sun, right? Physical sun. Now, think about this. These are just three aspects of what that natural light does for us. Amen? Listen to this. I got this off of the internet. Three things that sunlight does for us. Number one, it transfers energy. The sunlight to the earth, it governs our temperatures and our seasons. Did you ever think about that? Now, that's just the sun, the physical light, right? The physical light from the sun. Number two, the sun, the light from the sun, it does what? It provides energy. In the process of what we call, or what scientists call, photosynthesis, it creates starches and sugars that are used by plants and animals to grow and sustain life. And the third thing that sunlight does, or light from the sun does, it transfers information, allowing us with our eyes and our brains to interpret things in relation to other things. In other words, I see you because there's light in this room. You see me because there's light, right? And what happens? Our brains are working with our eyes and we're able to see. But guess what? If all the lights were out, our brains can be working, our eyes can be working, but we can't see. So in other words, we can't see without what? Light. Amen. Now that's very important. Now when we look at the word light in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Greek, one of the words in Strong's Concordance, I know we're familiar with this, but one of the words that I want us to look at this morning is the word phos. 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 P-H-O-S. Phos. That means to give or to make manifest. Okay? Another word in the Greek is the word phaneo. That means to seem or appear. It's talking about light. Another word is this word phemi. It means to show or make one's thoughts known. Or to speak or to say, when we're talking about light. Now, here's the one I like for us with light. This word is in the Greek, is called phaster. This means light giver or light bearer. An example we have here, remember in John chapter 1, verse 8, it said what? John the Baptist was what? He was not that light, but he was sent to do what? Bear witness of the light. So John was a bearer of the light, even though he wasn't the light, right? Now, think about it this way. You and I, as believers, we, according to Matthew, let's turn to Matthew real quick. Turn to Matthew chapter 15. I want you to see what Jesus had to say. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Where am I at? Okay, right. Verse 14 and 16. Matthew chapter 15, verse 14 and 16. Okay, that's good. I'm looking in the wrong chapter. You hit the right verse. Okay. Well, hold on. No, Matthew chapter 5. I apologize. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 and 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. And Jesus is speaking, right? Now, he's talking to his believers, right? Is everyone there? Okay, let's begin reading verse 14. Ye are what? The light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth what? Light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. Why? That they may see what? Your good works. And glorify what? Your Father is where? Who is in heaven. Okay? So in other words, what Jesus is saying here is that each and every one of us that are believers, we are bearers of light. And we are to do what? Let our light do what? Shine. Now, we're going to break this down a little bit, but I just want to lay a little foundation here because we need to understand the importance. When the Bible says light, what's the importance of it? And I'm glad you asked that. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and for those of you who are Bible scholars, that's the first chapter in your Bible and mine. Amen? Praise the Lord. Genesis chapter 1, let's look at verses 1 and 3. 1 to 3. Is everyone there? Okay, let's read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and what else? And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Verse 3, and God did what? He said what? Let there be light, and there was light. Now think about this for a moment. I mean, sometimes we gloss over that without realizing what happened. In the beginning, this is talking about creation, right? God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form, and it was void. But what did he mention? Darkness was upon the face of the deep. So now, what was the first thing God did with the earth? He did what? He created light. Did he create light? What did he do? He spoke. But what did he speak? Light. And light was there. Going back to this in the natural, remember I said from a scientific point of view, all of life emanates from what? Light. So in other words, God had to speak forth light first before life can be put here. You got that? Now, in the Hebrew, when it says God said light be and light was, really in the Hebrew what it meant was God said this. He said light become and light became. Now, let me ask you this. If Elohim said, and that's the plurality of God, that's the three parts of God. If they said, light be, where did light come from? It came from God, but how? Okay, wait a minute. Follow this. See, sometimes we gloss over this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Physical, right? God, who is spiritual, and in the spirit realm, he said to this earth that was without form and void, he said, light become. and light became. So in other words, it just didn't appear. Light was always there, but it was where? In the realm of the Spirit, he brought it over. You follow that? I want you to see that, because what happens is if we don't see that, then we're going to miss what else God was doing. See, God, Genesis talks about the beginning of things. God spoke from where he was, eternity. He spoke into this life, and he said light became, and it was, right? Now listen to this same verse in the Douay Rheims translation of the Bible. It says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and the earth was void and empty, okay? And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over the waters. And God said, be light made, and light was made. Got that? That's the closest that it comes to it. Now, that word darkness, really, if you look up that word, if you look it up in your concordance in Strong's, the definition for the word darkness means this. It means misery was upon the earth, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, and wickedness. Now, I'm just going to take a little diversion here, but I'll come back. That is why, how many of you ever went to the Museum of Natural History and you saw those dinosaur bones, right? Now, did dinosaurs exist? How do you know they exist? But we got the fossil records, right? Have you ever seen a dinosaur? Have we ever petted a dinosaur? And we're not talking about Jurassic Park, right? We're going to a park where they're running loose. But see, we know that they existed because we have what? Fossil records, right? The fossil records tell you that they existed. But also the fossil records tell us that they existed at a point of time. They didn't become extinct within the last 100 years, right? They would say millions of years or whatever. So in other words, we can say this, that those dinosaurs that roamed the earth, that now we see the fossil records of, they were walking around here when the earth was void and full of darkness. Then God spoke. And he said what? Because darkness is wickedness. Darkness is chaos, right? Now, he spoke, right? And light became. Now, turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4, keep your mind in Genesis chapter 1, but look at how the Holy Ghost gave the prophet Jeremiah a glimpse into this, okay? Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. Because some people say, well, I don't believe in the pre-Adamic creation of world. Well, whether you believe it or not, it's there, okay? We're just going to show you some scriptures to show you that what God was saying. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 23. Is everyone there? Let's read. He says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form, and what? And void, and the heavens, and they had what? No light. So in other words, what Jeremiah saw in the realm of the Spirit, he saw what was going on in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, right? Now, let me read that in the Amplified. It says it this way, because Jeremiah was really comparing this to the destruction of Israel, right? But now look what he says. He says, I looked at the land, and behold, it was at the time of creation, waste, vacant, void, and at the heavens, and they had no light. In the Message, it says it this way. He says, I looked at the earth, and it was back to pre-Genesis, chaos and emptiness. Got that? So in other words, we see in creation that the first thing that God did and created or brought about manifestation was light, right? Now let's turn back to John chapter 1. Turn back to John chapter 1. And let's look at this again. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, right? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. Or we could say it this way. In him was what? Light, right? And the life was what? The light of men. Verse 5, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So in other words, we're seeing here now a conflict between light and darkness, okay? Now, let me read that in the Amplified. It'll give it a little more illustration. In the beginning, before all time, was the Word, Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made in all things made came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was what? The light of men. Okay? And the light shines in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it. You got that? The light shines where? In darkness. But the darkness has never overpowered it. It can't put it out or absorb it or appropriate it, and is unreceptive to it. Okay? So now, what I want you to see is this. It's very important for us to understand that God is the one who gives light, right? That light is the light of every man that came into the world. So in other words, we could say it this way. Every one of us that came into this existence has light. We call it life, right? When a baby is born and goes, wah! That means he's alive, right? If a baby don't say nothing, don't breathe, the baby is not alive, right? So now we can look at it this way. We can go a step further. Every person that's in this world, every person that's ever come into this world, if we were to go to other countries and other civilizations, have you ever noticed in any and every civilization in history or no matter where you are, people are always trying to create a deity, right? If you go to the Aztec civilization, they built statues and monuments to God. If we go to Egypt, the Egyptians, they built things. No matter where you go. So people have within them the ability to reach out to God. Because why? There's some light in them. Okay? But now, here's the difference. The difference is this. The knowledge of that light can only come from one source. The knowledge of the light of God, the true light, as it says in John, comes through who? Jesus Christ, okay? Now, let's keep on going with this. Let me read the message. John chapter 1, verse 5 in the message, it says it this way. He says, the Word was first, and the Word present to God, God present to the Word was God, okay? Everyone got that? In readiness for God from day one. Everything was created through him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without him. What came into existence was life. And the life was light to live by. And the light life, or the life light, blazed out of darkness, and darkness couldn't put it out. Even in the natural, if you're in a dark place and you got a flashlight, you turn it on, does the darkness overtake that flashlight? Does it? No. The light overtakes that darkness, right? Same way in the natural, same thing in the spiritual. The darkness couldn't put it out. And like I said, as we've seen in creation, we've seen that physical light came as a result of spiritual light, right? As I shared with you earlier. When God said light be, we know where it came from, right? Now, there's two types of light. There's physical light that we see here. It's evident with the sun and with flashlights, things we make. And then there's also what? Spiritual light, okay? Now, let's turn to John chapter 3. We're in John. Turn to John chapter 3, because now what we want to see, well, let's see what Jesus had to say about this. Amen? Because it's very important. Right now, everything I said up to this point is information, but if you don't understand it and we don't see how it connects, then it's not going to be useful for us, okay? Turn to John chapter 3. Let's begin at verse 16, where we started this morning, and let's read all the way to verse 21, okay? And everyone read with me. Are you there? Let's read. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men did what? Love darkness rather than what? Light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. Up until this point in time, man was unredeemed. Remember, because what Adam and Eve did in the garden? So man was thrust into sin. We could say it this way. Man was thrust into darkness, right? This verse 20, let's keep on reading. For everyone that doeth evil, do what? Hates the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, come to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And like I said to you earlier, I said each and every person has a measure of light. But what happens is that light has to come to the true light. And the true light is who? Jesus Christ. Now, here's something I want you to write down and make a note of this. Rejection of light brings one into darkness. Always remember that. If you reject the light, you're going into darkness. Amen? Now, I have some other scriptures, but let's move over here. I want to move this along because what we've been talking about, and I've been talking to you about light, and we've seen it in the scriptures. Jesus said it here. Jesus said that he, right, those who accept the light are walking in the light, but those who reject it are those that are doing evil, right? Now, let's turn to Psalm 119, a familiar passage. Psalm 119, the 119th Psalm, verse 105. Because, see, the question is, if I'm saying to you, walking in the light, the life of God, how do I walk in the light? You know, how do you walk in light? Okay? So let's see the answer here. In Psalm 119, verse 105. Is everyone there? Okay, let's say it together. Let's read. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and what? And a light to my path. So now, God's word is what? A light to our feet. So in other words, we could say it this way. If I'm doing God's word, if I'm doing what God's word says, I'm doing what? Walking in the light, right? Now, let me read that in the Common English Bible. It says it this way. He says, your word is a lamp before my feet and a light for my journey. So in other words, think about it this way. If you're out here, you know, this is the Poconos, and if you're out here at night, someone laughed back there. Well, you don't come out at night? No? Okay. You must know something I don't. Okay. But if you're out here at night and it's dark, right, even in this facility here, if the lights are out and the moon is not out, it's dark, right? So what do you need? You need a flashlight, right? Now, think about it this way. God's word, I just want to say big one, okay. God's word is like a lamp to our feet. Or we can say it this way, like a flashlight to our feet. So you're going to put the flashlight to your feet because you want to see what's down there in the dark, right? Because you don't want to step on something that crawls around in the dark. So God's word is a lamp to our feet. And what else? Not only a lamp to our feet, but what else? A light to our path. And if you notice here, we have lamps in the aisles here. So at night, they automatically come on. So that way we can drive up the path, right? So God's word is like a light, a lamp to our feet, a light to our feet, and a light to our path. So in other words, if I want to know where I'm going, I'm going to use God's word as my measure, my unit of measurement. I'm not going to use my own reasoning. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I remembered when I don't know if I shared this before, but I'm going to share it again if I do. If I shared it again, forgive me, but I'm just sharing it for this morning, illustration purpose. When I first came to Christ, I didn't know. Now, wait a minute. I was saved. I accepted the true light, which is the light of the world, Jesus, right? I accepted him. But now, as a new Christian, I didn't understand certain things. In other words, it's like walking in a path with a little bit of light. I got a little bit of light here, so I'm walking in this. But meanwhile, I got to get all the way back down there, right? So now, here it is. I'll never forget this. Valerie was my friend. We weren't married at the time. And in the church I was a part of, you know, some of the people knew me and Valerie knew me. And one of the things they encouraged me on, they said, well, William, you know, now that you're a Christian, you're not supposed to drink beer. You shouldn't be drinking beer anymore. And I said, listen, ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, here's my reasoning. What are you talking about? I can't drink beer. I don't bother nobody. I don't fight nobody. I just want to watch the football game, and I got the beer, the Bud in my hand, you know. What are you talking about? I don't know what they're talking about. They were telling me, you know, as a Christian, you're not supposed to drink beer, right? Remember? You remember that, right? She was there. But here's what happened. For me, what they were saying, was it true? Some of you paused for a minute. Wait a minute. What they said was true. But here's what happened. my light was only shining here. I didn't have light on what they were talking about. But now here's what happened. Here's what happened. One of her aunts, I'm over at their house, and her aunt has a boyfriend, and we're in the back, and we're watching the Knicks play basketball, right? So we're drinking beer, right? All of a sudden, he pulls out a joint. He's, okay, man, okay, let's light up. He pulls out a joint. And I'm saying, wait a minute. Now, I used to smoke joints, and I used to snort coke, but now I got saved. I don't smoke joints. See, the light came on that I don't smoke joints. I don't sniff cocaine anymore. So I'm saying to him, nah, man, I don't do that, right? So anyway, he looked at me and said, what's wrong with you, man? You must be a church boy or something, right? And now I'm getting ready to fight this guy. You follow me? Now, remember, they said, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be drinking, William, you shouldn't be drinking beer. So I'm getting ready to fight her aunt's boyfriend. That's strike number one. Strike number two, a guy got me a job, right? And at this point in time, remember, I got a little bit more light now. I'm not drinking anymore. I'm not drinking beer anymore. So I got light, you know, I got a little bit more light in the area. And what happened was this guy got me a job. So, you know, down in Wall Street. So I said, okay, where can I meet you? He said, meet me down at the bar, right? So I go down at the bar and I meet him there. And I just want to thank him, you know. So I order a ginger ale and he orders, you know, whatever he wants, Jack Daniels, whatever. So he's drinking left and right. And I say, hey, man, thanks for the job. I appreciate that, you know. So anyway, he finishes. He says, yeah, I got to go now. Yeah, no problem, brother. It's all right. It's all right. I got to go now. I got to go to my AA meeting. Now, you know how that made me feel? Now, I had more light, right? Now, here's the final one. Here's the final. See, I was a hard case. Here's the final test for me. The final one was this. One of my nephews, we're talking about light now, right? We're talking about God's word is what? A lamp unto our feet and a light to our path, right? But sometimes we don't see everything. So one of my nephews comes to me. He had a little girl and he wanted to have a house party, right? You know what house parties are, right? Well, at that point in time, I used to be a DJ. But I stopped because now I'm a Christian. I don't drink beer anymore. And I got to go to church, right, on Sunday morning, right? Matter of fact, I was a Sunday school teacher at that time. So he tells me, no, really, here's what happens. He's telling me, oh, uncle, come on, come on, come on. I need you. You know, do this for me, do this for me. So I allowed the pressure of my nephew. He said, man, do it for blood. We're blood. Do it for blood. How many of you heard that kind of stuff? You know, do it for the family. You know, be there for the family, you know. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go. I'm going to play. And I'm hooking at a certain time because I got to go to I got to teach Sunday school tomorrow, and I got to go to church. He's okay, uncle, no problem, no problem. So he had his buddy come with the car, pick up my set. Right, Valerie knows this. Pick up my set. She was there. Pick up the set. So we go to this apartment in the Bronx at night. Remember, we're talking about God's word being a light, lamp to our feet, light to our path. Now, those of you Bible scholars, right? You never would have done that, right? But here's what happened. I did it, right? So anyway, I purposely set up in a room, like they had the big living room where everybody's going to be dancing and all that. I purposely set up my equipment in a back room so that way I'm not out there. Then I purposely took a little can of Budweiser and I set it on the side there. I didn't drink it, but I set it on the side there. So that way, if somebody comes, I pick it up. Yeah, how you doing? Whatever. So anyway, I'm compromising, right? I'm compromising, okay? Now, here's the bad. That's not the bad part. Here's the worst part. Man, this party's going wild. There's a whole lot of stuff going on. And I got to be honest with you, I'm no longer feeling the music. If you're a DJ, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you feel the music and you know. I'm not feeling anything. I'm disconnected. So finally, it got to a certain time because Valerie was with me. I said, I'm going to walk her home. You were not with me that time? Okay, she wasn't there with me. Okay. So here's what happened. Okay, Okay, let me change the story. Okay, hold on. Let me get it right. Now, she wasn't there with me. She's right. She had more light than I did. Okay. So anyway, here's what happened. Here's what happened. I was going to take a break, and I went to go see her. Yeah. Because the house party was down the block from her apartment, right? So I'm going to go see her. And then I'm coming back within an hour. And I had a big reel-to-reel. So I had my mixes on that, and I just run that and let that go, and then go. Now, what happened was, on my way back over, I go back to the back room. Remember I told you I had that little setup in the back room? Now, all the brothers are back there in the back room, right? And on my stereo equipment, right on top of it, is all this cocaine. And I walk in, and they say, oh, yeah, the DJ's here. Yeah, DJ, you get the first hit, man. Take the first hit. And all I remember, here's what I'm saying, all I remember is all I know. All I remembered, I started cussing. I said, if you don't take that blankety blank off of my blankety blank, I'm going to kick some blankety blank up in here. And they all look crazy. And meanwhile, now listen, I know these guys. One of the guys, these guys I grew up with, they were drug dealers. So I know them. They got guns. Okay, they got guns. I ain't got no gun. I ain't have no sense. So I'm saying that all, I'm like Peter, I'm blurting it out, right? So they all look, they took it off, and they scrape, hey man, we sorry, man, we didn't know that. And they took off, and I told my nephew, I'm unhooking everything, I'm getting out of here, I'm out of here, okay? Now wait, the light came off, right? That's why you don't compromise, right? So anyway, I'm unhooking my stuff, I took my needles, you know, the turntable needles, I took my fuses out, so that way they can't crank me up, but I wasn't stupid, I told them, put your music on, and we're going to cut over, and then I'm out of here. And I'll never forget, and this is the point I'm getting at. We're talking about God's word, walking in the light, the life of God. As I walked out of there, I felt so compromised. I felt bad. I said, God, I'm sorry. I apologize. That'll never happen again. And the next day, you had to come back with me, right? Remember I told you the guys drove me up there to pick up my equipment in the car and all that? Nobody the next day was there. I had to go to her house and leave it at her house in a shopping cart. So what am I trying to say in all of this is that compromise. See, what happens is rejection of the light of God causes us to be in darkness, and you'll start to compromise. Everyone got that? Now, let me turn to another portion of Scripture. Amen? No. Psalm 119, 105. Let me read it in the Message. It says it this way, and it's a little bit more, but this is where we're at, and this is what I'm trying to say in this. He says it this way in the Message. By your words, I can see where I'm going. They throw a beam of light on my dark path. I've committed myself, and I will never turn back from living by your righteous order. Everything is falling apart on me, God. Put me together again with your word. Festoon me with your finest sayings. God, teach me your holy rules. My life is as close as my own hands, but I don't forget what you have revealed. The wicked do their best to throw me off track, and they'll do the same thing for you too, right? But I don't swerve an inch from your course. Amen? So in other words, we see here that God's word provides direction. Amen? Now think about it this way. You know, if we were out on an ocean, right? If we were out on the ocean, what would I use to chart my course? What can I use? A compass. And what is the compass going to tell me? Which direction I'm going in, true north or whatever, and that way I'll know. So in other words, if we get on a boat, we don't have a compass, and I say to myself, I think I can go that way. I think we should go that way. Am I going north? No, because we have nothing to measure it with, right? Same thing with God's word. That's why God's word is so important. God's word is light. Amen? Now, let's turn to Psalm. We're in Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 130. Okay, Psalm 130. I hope you're getting something this morning. Psalm 130, look at verse 30. Now, Pastor Ed always quotes this, but really it's the word of God. Amen. He's always saying. Psalm 119, right? Psalm 119. We're still in Psalm 119. We're at verse 105. Move to verse 130. Psalm 119. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. I apologize. We're still in the 119th Psalm, but move to verse 130. Is everyone there? Okay, hold on. Let me get a sip of water. I have to say that. Okay, let's read it. The entrance of thy words do what? Giveth life. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Now, listen to that in today's New International Version. I like how it says it. It says, the unfolding of your words do what? give light. Okay? It gives understanding to the simple. Let me read that in the Amplified. It says it this way. The entrance and unfolding of your words give light. Their unfolding gives understanding. You got that? Discernment and comprehension to the simple. So now what's going to give us understanding? God's word. God's word in Psalm 105th verse, it says his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. But here it says the entrance of his word does what? It gives light. It gives understanding. It gives discernment. It gives comprehension. Now, the Wycliffe says it this way. He says, the declaring of thy words enlighten. It gives understanding to meek men. The declaring or the exposition of thy words bringeth light or enlightenment, and it give understanding even to the simple and untaught. So in other words, none of us have an excuse. As we look at God's word, we can get direction and we can receive what? Understanding. So the light, walking in the light and life of God, is walking in his word, is going to give us understanding and it's going to give us direction. Amen. Now, remember, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. You don't have to turn there. But remember when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower? What did he say in reference to the parable of the sower? Let's turn there. I just want you to see this. Matthew chapter 13, and beginning at verse 19. We're talking about walking in the light, living in the light of life of God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 19. Let's see, where are we? Okay, that's 14. 13, okay, here we go. Now, he's talking about the parable of the sower, right? But now let's read verse 19 together. Is everyone there? Let's read it. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh who? The wicked one, and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is which was received seed by the wayside. So in other words, what Jesus was saying was this. When you don't understand something, see, you can hear the word of God. I'm speaking the word of God to you this morning. But if you don't understand it, what's going to happen is even that which you've heard is going to be taken away from you because you don't understand. Amen? Satan will take it away from you. And remember the example I gave you of like if we're walking in the woods? If I got like a little pin light, you know, those little pin light flashlights? If I'm walking in the woods, can I walk around? I can walk around a little bit, but I can only go so far as the light is. But if I have a flashlight, can I go a little further? Okay, right? Now, if I had headlights on a car and it's dark, what can I do? You can drive further, right? So in other words, we got to remember this. Walking in the light or walking in the word of God is progressive. Everyone understand that? It's a progression. In other words, right now, today, each and every one of us are walking in the light that we understand. But what God wants to do, he wants to give us more what? Understanding. Now, how are we going to get that more understanding? By walking in his word. By looking in his word. Okay, the entrance of his word does what? Brings light and it brings understanding. Okay, let me move this along, right? Now, something to note. Here's what I want you to write down. In reference to spiritual matters, the Holy Ghost told me this. Well, he shared this with me, and I'm sharing it with you. He said, in spiritual matters, there is no neutrality. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Everyone got that? So there's no such thing as, oh, I'm going to walk in the light of all of this, and that's all I want. That's all I need. You know, that's all I want. No, no, no. Because when the minute you adopt that attitude and that mindset, you're really going to start to go back. Because there's no neutrality in spiritual things. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. Now, here's something that I want you to make note of, too. This is something that I'm writing. Darkness is regressive. Rejecting the light, God's word, would move a person into darkness. You got that? Now, I'll give you an example of that. Let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 8. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, what happened here, just to give you a little backdrop, this is the time when the woman was caught in adultery. which I always find interesting. How do you catch a woman in adultery and there's no man there? Right? I mean, think about it. You can't catch a person in adultery if there's only one person. So that's let you know what kind of darkness they were in, right? So anyway, Jesus, you know, remember he wrote on the ground. He said, you without sin, cast the first stone, right? And they all walked out, right? Because he exposed them, right? What happened? The light exposed them. Okay, everyone got that? Light exposes things. Got that? Light. How many of you have done that? You're camping out in the woods and you go in your tent and you flash on the light. You see all these bugs crawling around, right? And what do they? They run away from the light, right? See, light exposes things, okay? So now let's go here. When John chapter 8, look at verse 12. Jesus is speaking, right? Let's read what he says. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying what? I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in what? Darkness, but shall have what? The light of life. So now here's a question. Maybe you're asking, well, how do I know if I'm walking in the light? Well, are you following Jesus? Are you listening to Jesus? Are you saying what Jesus says? If you're following Jesus, if you're walking in his word, then we are in essence what? Walking in the light. Because Jesus said what? He's the light of the world. Amen? Now let me read that same verse in the J.B. Phillips translation. Later Jesus spoke to the people again and said, I am the light of the world. The man who follows me will never walk in the dark, but will live his life in the light. Let me say that again. The man who follows me will never walk in the dark, but will live his life in the light. Say this with me. Say, I live my life in the light of God's word. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I live my life in the light of God's word. Now you're in John. Turn to John chapter 9 and let's look at verses 4 and 5. Because we're talking about walking in the light, the life of God. John chapter 9, beginning at verse 4. Let's read verses 4 and 5. Jesus is speaking. Now look at what Jesus had to say. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, what happens? The night cometh. Then no man can work. As long as I am in the world, he is what? I am the light of the world. Now turn to John chapter 12. Because it's not just these two times Jesus is mentioning this. John chapter 12, verses 35 and 36. Jesus once again is speaking. Amen? And I'd like for you to read this with me. Let's read this. Then saith Jesus unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Hold it there for a minute. I remember, now think about this. If you're walking in darkness, you don't even know where you're going. You know, think about it. Not walking with God, not walking in his light, in his word, we really don't know where we're going. We're wasting our time. Amen? Let's keep on going. Let's keep on reading. Verse 36, right? While ye have the light, do what? Believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Now notice what he said in verse 36. While you have the light, what are you supposed to do? Believe the light. So in other words, we walk in the light how? By faith. You got that? Not by feelings. Not by what I think. Not by how I feel. Not by any of those things. You walk in the light by faith. Say that with me. Say, I walk in the light by faith. All right, that's very important because he said it here, right? Now let me read that same version in verse in the Amplified. So Jesus said unto them, you will have the light only a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. Keep on living by it, so that darkness may not overtake and overcome you. He who walks about in the dark does not know where he's going. He's drifting. How many of you ever seen people drifting around from place to place? Right? They're drifting because they're walking in the dark. Verse 36, while you have the light, Believe in the life, in the light. Have faith in it. Hold to it. Rely on it, that you may become sons of the light and be filled with light. You got that? Believe in it. Hold to it. Amen. Now, let me read that in the J.B. Phillips translation. Jesus, at this, Jesus said to them, you have the light with you only a little while longer. He's referring to himself, right? Go on while the light is good, before the darkness comes down upon you. For the man who walks in the dark has no idea where he's going. You must believe in the light while you have the light, that you may become what? Sons of light. Amen? Now, let me read that in the message. The message says it this way. Jesus said, for a brief time still, the light is among you. Walk by the light. Walk in the light you have, so darkness doesn't destroy you. If you walk in darkness, you don't even know where you're going. As you have the light, believe in the light, then the light will be within you and shining through your lives. You got that? The light that's in us, the light that we believe, the Word of God, is going to be in us and it's going to shine through us. Amen? And you will be children of the light. Say that with me. Say, we are children of the light. Now, let's look at something else. Turn to John chapter 12. Well, we're still in John chapter 12. Look at verses 44 and 48, because Jesus keeps on with his discourse. And Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. In other words, believe in the Father, right? And he that seeth me hath seen him that sent me, referring to God the Father, right? Verse 46, he says, I am come, what? A light into the world, that whosoever does what? Believeth on me, should not do what? Now, what's another word for abide? Dwell. What's another word? Stay. What's another word? Remain. What's another word? Live. There you go. Amen. We got my A students here this morning. So in other words, if we believe on him, we're not going to be staying in darkness. Now, that doesn't mean this. It doesn't mean that right now in your life and in my life, there may be an area of my life that I'm not aware of that is not pleasing to the Father. But see, it's the job, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's the job of the Holy Spirit and you abiding in Christ that the light will come and show you that area. Okay, you got that? But once that area has been revealed to you, you got a decision to make. And the decision is what? Going towards the light or rejecting that and going by default in the darkness. Amen? Everyone follow me on that? Now, let's keep on going here, okay? In verse 40, where was I? I was at verse 46. 47, let's read. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to do what? But to save the world. Now, hold it right there. That's what some people say. See, that's why, don't judge me, brother. Don't judge me. No, I can't judge you, and I'm not going to judge you. Jesus said it here. He's not going to judge you either. But let's read a little further. Amen. Verse 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that does what? Judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him where? At the last day. So here's what we're trying to say. True. We're not to judge anybody. I'm not going to judge anybody. I'm not your judge. I got to tell the people right now, I'm not your judge. But I got news for you. If you reject the light, if we reject this life, then there's someone you're going to have to give an account to, right? And that's the righteous judge who judges, as the Bible says, righteously, right? Now, let me read that same version in the New Living Translation. Jesus shouted to the crowds, if you trust me, you are trusting not only me, but also God who sent me. For when you see me, you are seeing the one who sent me. I have come as light to shine in this dark world, so that all who put their trust in me will no longer remain in the dark. You got that? If I'm putting my trust in God, I'm not going to remain in the dark. Now, I may be in the dark over some things, but guess what? My trust is in God, and as God reveals it to me, I'm moving out from that area. Like right now, I don't care who you are. You come to me and say, oh, we want you to DJ a party. I ain't doing it no more. Because what? The light has come. I have light in that area. I understand it now, right? See, that's what the problem. Sometimes we're trying to tell people to do something that they don't see the light. See, so if they don't see the light, guess what? They're in blindness. But now here's the thing. If you are in the dark and the light has come to you over a situation and you remain in that, then guess what? You're rejecting the light. And if you're rejecting the light, where are you? In darkness. Okay? So now I want everybody to understand that. So we're not judging nobody, and I'm not judging anybody, but we're going to put our trust in God so that way we won't remain in the dark. He said, I come not to judge those who hear me, but I will not judge those who hear me, but don't obey me, for I have come to save the world and not to judge it. But all who reject me and my message will be judged on the day of judgment by the truth I have spoken. And my question to you this morning is, have you placed your trust in him? Have you? Okay, praise the Lord. Then guess what? We're walking in that light. Amen? Now, in Amplified, I'm just going to read verse 40, John chapter 12, but verse 46, I want to read that in the Amplified. He says, I have come as a light into the world, so that whosoever believes in me, do you believe in him this morning? Do you believe in him this morning? Whoever cleaves to, are you cleaving to him? What? You don't sound convinced. Are you trusting in him? Are you relying on him? Then you won't continue to live in darkness. That's what he was saying. Amen? Now, let's look at something else. Very important, okay? Turn to 1 John. I know I'm giving you a lot in a short period, but I want you to see that walking in the light is so important. See, because when we're walking in the light, we're walking in God's word. If we're walking in God's word, we're following Jesus. If we're following Jesus, then we're not going to be in darkness. Amen? But now look at what John the Apostle said in his epistle. John chapter 1, verse 5 and 7. Okay? And I like this because when you think about John, I always think about John as one of those disciples, but I always envision John when he was with Jesus as a young man. He probably was like maybe 17, 18 years old. The other guys are like 30 years old or, you know, 29, 30. John was a little younger. So John as a young man, remember that he's the one that they said he leaned on Jesus' bosom and he referred to himself as the one whom Jesus loved. So now here is John. But now also John in this epistle, this is years later. John's an older man. But let's see what he says. Amen? John chapter 1, verse 1, beginning at verse 5. Let's read. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that what? God is what? God is what? God is light, and in him is what? No darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we do what? We lie and do not the truth. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now think about this for a moment. Listen to what happened here. John, walking with Jesus all those years, right about this time, he's older. He's an older man. And he's saying, this is what you heard from the beginning, that God is what? Light. So if we're walking in the light, who are we walking with? God. And in God, there's not what? No darkness. So he says it here. Now he breaks it down. He says, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what happens? We're lying. See? In other words, if we're walking in the light, then we have fellowship with God, then darkness, I'll give an example here because he goes on further with this. If I'm walking in the light and I'm walking with God and I hate somebody, am I walking in the light? I'm walking where? In darkness. If I'm walking in the light and God is telling me to do this and I'm disobeying him in that, notice I didn't tell you what this was, right? But God's telling me to do this thing. Let's just make this thing, you name it whatever you want to name it. God is telling me to do this, but I'm refusing to do that. Am I walking in the light? And what am I? I'm lying. You're lying to yourself. You know, Pastor Clint said this many years ago. I'll never forget this. He said the worst type of deception, you know what the worst type of deception is? Self-deception. Because you don't realize you're deceived. Right? But now, here's the key. If we walk in the light, now that word walk there is very important. In the Greek, that word is peripateo. But what it means is this. If we live in, if we follow after, if we become occupied with, you follow me? So if I'm living after, if I'm living in the light of God's word and light, right? If I'm following after God and his word, if I'm becoming occupied with that which God is concerned about and his word, then I'm walking in the light. Amen? Now, let me read that same verse in the J.B. Phillips, John chapter 1, verse 1, 5, and 7. Listen to what he says here. He says it this way, and I like the title. It says, Experience of Living in the Light. He says, Here then is the message which we have heard from him and now proclaim to you. God is light, and no shadow of darkness can exist in him. Consequently, if we were to say that we enjoyed fellowship with him and still went on living in darkness, we would be both telling and living a lie. But we really are living in the light in which he eternally exists. Then we have true fellowship with each other, and the blood which his son shed for us keeps us clean from all sin. Now you follow that? Now wait a minute, hold on for a minute. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, does what? Cleanses us from all sin. So it doesn't mean this. I don't want nobody to leave here this morning thinking, well, Deacon William said, I got this area in my life. No, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So even if you made a misstep, or even if you're making a misstep, 1 John 1:9 is there for us, right? If we confess our sin. But notice what he says here. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. Notice it didn't say cleanse the world. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Because I got news for you. In your life and in my life, and I'm going to use myself as an example, there were things that I was doing in my Christian walk, but the light was not there. But then when the light came, I had a decision to make. I had to make a decision. Am I going to continue to follow on with Jesus or do what I think is best or do what I feel and step away from God? So the same thing with us. But see, but even in our walk with God, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Okay? Everyone got that? That's very important. Very important here. Now, let me keep on going, right? Where am I at? Okay, where am I at? Let me follow it here. If we refuse to admit that we are sinners, then we live in a world of illusion and truth becomes a stranger to us. Let me say that again. If we refuse, remember it says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, keeps us clean from all sin, right? But now listen to this. If we refuse to admit that we are sinners, that we're missing the mark, then we live in a world of illusion. Doesn't that sound like self-deception? And the truth becomes a stranger to us. But if we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable and straightforward. He forgives our sins and makes us thoroughly clean from all that is evil. For if we take up the attitude, we have not sinned, we flatly deny God's diagnosis of our condition and cut ourselves off from what he has to say to us. Now, I know that's heavy stuff. I'm laying down some heavy stuff, but that's where it's at. If we want to walk in the light, we're going to walk in the light of God's word, right? We understand that. Now, let me close with this. I got other things to share, but let me just close with this scripture. Amen? Where am I at? Okay. In the message, John chapter 1, verse 2, 5, and 11. I'm going to close with this. If someone claims I know him well, but doesn't keep his commandments, he's obviously a liar. His life does not match his words. But the one who keeps God's word is the person in whom we see God's mature love. This is the only way to be sure we're in God. Anyone who claims to be intimate with God ought to live the same kind of life Jesus did. My dear friends, I'm not writing anything new here. This is the oldest commandment in the book, and you've known it from day one. It's always been implicit in the message you've heard. On the other hand, perhaps it is new, freshly minted, as it is in both Christ and you. The darkness is on its way out. Everyone say to me, say, the darkness is on its way out. The true light is already blazing. Let me keep on reading. Anyone who claims to live in God's light and hates his brother or sister is still in the dark. It's the person who loves brother and sister, who dwells in God's light and doesn't block the light from others. Amen. You hear that? But whoever hates is still in the dark and stumbles around in the dark and doesn't know which way is up, which end is up, blinded by the darkness. So, church, this morning, beloved, we've been commanded by our Father God to live and follow and live in the light. Because as we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we're walking in his word, as Jesus is the word. We're doing that which God is instructing us to do. We're walking in the life of God.